Church, before we get started, I want to do something real quick. I'd love for you guys to write down a name. Our life group did this. I'd love for you to take out your connection card, including with anything else that you've included on there, and just write down a name of someone that doesn't have a church family or someone that doesn't know Jesus, and say, you know what, I'm going to invite this person to Christmas Eve next week, and I'm going to pray for them this week. So I would love for you guys to fill that out and put it in the box back there, the offering box, and do that. And then you've got these cards. You know, Jeff said they fall out of your hands because they're slick. I think they're pretty slick. You know, I'm just saying. Like, come on, y'all. That's like a dad joke. You got to give me credit. All right. So, no, let's hand those out. But if you write down a name, we would love to pray for those this week over the next 3 or 4 days. And I'm going to pray for you guys because your humor is bad and you don't know what's funny. So, I know, man. It's good to be here today. It's good to be with the family. Good to be with our church and our guests today to gather and worship and open God's Word together as we celebrate Christmas this year. During the Christmas season, we're walking through a preaching series titled The Wonder of Christmas, because church, too often, I think we can approach Christmas, right, so focused on everything else, so tired, right, so distracted that we forget who we celebrate and why. And church, I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced that when we take the time to really bring our attention to Jesus and why he came, it should cause us to live in awe of who Jesus is. It will truly cause us to see the wonder that we celebrate this Christmas. And so on this day, the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, the day that Jesus was born. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn there with me. We're going to look at Jesus bringing and being the good news of great joy to all the people. Grab your Bibles. If you need a Bible, we've got some on the table back there. They are our gift to you. The words will be on the screen as well. But Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 is where we're going to be today. Leading up to this passage, Mary and Joseph have both received the news that she's going to be pregnant and that it's going to be the virgin birth. And now they are headed to Bethlehem. They are headed from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And there they go and they try to find a place for them to stay. And the inns are closed, right? There's no Hyatt or anything like that for them to check into. Basically, at that moment, I don't know if you guys are aware, but basically in that moment, you would have homes that rented out spaces to people. Right? They didn't necessarily have the Hyatt or anything like that. They would go in and they would say, hey, there's no room here. And so they go and they find a place amongst the animals, and Mary gives birth to Jesus. And she wraps him in swaddling clothes and lies him in a manger. And that's where we pick up today, right after Jesus is born. So church, to honor God and his word, would you stand with me as we read God's word this morning? This great passage speaking of the day that Jesus was born. Luke chapter 2. Just follow along as I read. Here's what God's word tells us. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem to see then and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they had made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in their heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Father, we love you. God, we come to this season where there's so much going on, so much distraction, a lot of good things going on. But Father, I pray, Lord, that we as your people don't lose sight of you, Jesus, that came and gave everything for us. God, help us hear your word today. Help us listen to what you're teaching us and help us respond. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would also, during the time of message, really help us prepare our hearts as we take the Lord's Supper together, remembering why Jesus came to suffer and die and to rise again. So God, we love you. We pray, Lord, that you'd be in charge today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. When we look at this famous passage out of Luke, we're going to see some good news. We're going to see who it was that came, who the news came to, and then see their response. But before we do that, I want us to ask an important question. What is it that makes good news so good? What is it that makes good news good? I think all of us have experienced good news, right? And I think we can all agree that some good news is gooder than other good news. Right? Amen, church? Before we look at the good news that the angels bring, let's look at what does it mean to have good news. I'm going to give you an example. So, because some news is just better than others, right? Even if it's good news. So, for example, this is good news. When Jessica and I, we knew God was calling us to Tucson. We knew where he was calling us to specifically and what he wanted us to do. But when Jessica and I, we came here, we're looking for a home in Tucson. And we made an offer on a house. We go back home to Kansas City. We kind of just waited, right? We're waiting to hear whether or not that we got this house. We waited to see whether we were going to get what we thought was good news or bad news. And then they call us and they say, hey, Jeff, we have accepted your offer, right? You now have a home. Praise God. Amen. Now we're not, you know, so that's good news. That was good news for us. But here's the crazy thing. If we didn't get that house, there's other houses, right, that God would provide for us. So that was good news. But I think of a time in my life, in my recent life, where I received even better good news. My wife is going to correct my English so much after today's message. I'm just take notes, baby. You can grade me later. But I remember getting a phone call from my parents a few years ago, and they said, Jeff, we have some news to share with you. And as they began to tell me, I could hear the fear, I could hear the tears, I could hear the concern in their voice, and they said, Jeff, we need to tell you that your mom has cancer. We just left the doctor's office, and we received the bad news. My mom says, Jeff, I have cancer. And so I prayed with them over the phone and I invited others, let's just pray, like pray for God to heal her and pray for the doctors. Give them the wisdom, pray for my mom's treatment. And then one day my mom's treatment was coming closer and closer to being over before they go to the next step, and she was going in for that last treatment and last scan, and I was just praying for her, and I talked to them earlier that day, and I said, Mom, let me know. Like, no matter what the news is, let me know so we can continue to pray and help in any way we can. Let me know what the doctors say. And later that day, I get a text message from my mom. I haven't got a phone call or anything, but I get a text message from my mom and dad, and it was a video. And I opened up that video, and it was my mom reaching up and grabbing that bell and just ringing that bell. Amen? Right? And then we talked on the phone, and they said, Jeff, we received good news today. The cancer is gone, right? That's good news, church, right? And I think that's a little bit better than, Jeff, y'all got a home, right? Because otherwise we'd be living with Charles and Dawn, right? We just, you know, so is that still open? Can we, just kidding. But church, good news is always good. But good news matters most. Good news carries more weight. Good news is gooder-er. Right? When it invades the bad news. There's no kids in here that's going to go to school and fail tomorrow, are there? All right. But good news is gooder, church, when it invades the bad news. To truly understand how good the good news is, we truly have to understand and accept how bad the bad news is. And what I want us to see and understand today is the good news that these angels are bringing to these shepherds. The good news that we just read of in Luke chapter 2 is really good news, church. Right? In fact, it's the best news ever because it outweighs, it invades, it defeats our really bad news. So what's the bad news? To find that out, church, we got to go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, where things started out perfect. Right? It started out in God's design. When God created man and woman, when God created Adam and Eve, and even when God created you and me, you know what he did? He created us to be with him. He created us to know him and to walk with him and to follow him and to be with him for eternity. He created us to be loved by him and for us to love him. Genesis 1 and 2 were perfect. Things were good. But something happened in Genesis chapter 3. The bad news enters. Adam and Eve chose their pride in what they wanted over what God wanted. Adam and Eve chose sin. They disobeyed God. And in that moment, something very bad happened, church. Sin entered the world. And immediately, when sin enters into their life and in our life, there is a separation between us and the one who created us. Their sin and our sin caused a great divide between us and a holy God. And our sin earns us physical and spiritual and eternal death. And Adam and Eve in this moment went from walking with God and being with God and being loved by God and all this other stuff, just living in perfect in God's design. And now, because of their sin, because of bad news, now they are experiencing things they were never meant to experience. Brokenness, sickness, suffering, loss, a divide between them and God, death, and an eternity in a place called hell. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all of us have sinned. If you are in here or you're online listening today, we have all sinned against our Creator. We have all rebelled against Him. We have all sinned against a holy and perfect and loving God. And that sin, the Bible tells us, has earned us what Adam and Eve experienced. So now in our life, now we experience brokenness and sickness and suffering and loss and death and hell and a divide between us and God. Church, we have experienced brokenness and loss over the last couple years, haven't we? That was not God's design. But that is what sin in our life offers us. That's bad news, church. Things like not getting a house or getting a cancer report, or those are bad news. Some of them are worse than others, but this bad news is the worst news, church. We have all experienced bad news in one way or another, but this is a whole other level. Because the worst news that we receive and experience here has some sort of end to it. But because of our sin, the bad news that we're now living in is eternal. Unless Jesus brings good news and invades our bad news. And that's what we see here, church. This Christmas, we celebrate Jesus bringing us the best news ever. And so let's walk through this passage today. Let's see what's going on, see what the good news is. And then before we close, we're going to look at how did they respond and how should we respond. Are you guys ready for that? All right, church, if you're ready, say amen. Amen. Let's dive into it. So Jesus is born, and the first group of people to receive this news of Jesus being born is found in verse 8. And it should surprise us. Guys, we've heard this story a lot of times if you've been in church. Man, even if you haven't been in church, you have heard this story.